in the latest report on United States war crimes, the United States has dropped the largest non-nuclear bomb on Afghanistan. This is the GBU-43B Massive Ordnance Air Blast Bomb, nicknamed MOAB, our mother of all bombs. It was dropped at 7 p.m. local time. It is America's most powerful non-nuclear bomb. Developed in 2003 during the Iraq War, officials decided not to use it because of its massive potential for massive civilian casualties. But that didn't stop Trump and the United States government from dropping this 21,600-pound GPS-guided munition on a country that is literally built out of dirt and sticks. I'm your host, Jake Anderson, and I'm sad to report that the military-industrial complex hates humans and wants them all to die. Am I right, DB?
Yeah, that's the gist of it. I think if we just cut to the chase, that sums it up right there.
Who are these crazy fucking people? And what do they think they're doing? They're ratcheting it up. They swooped in. Trump got in. And I think they're right. I think Derek Rose is right. He made a comment on Facebook earlier today, which is that it appears that they used Trump as a form of kind of a distraction, a shield, a subterfuge, in order to do the same things they were going to do with Hillary Clinton, but there would have been much greater opposition to it because that opposition had already formed. Now with Trump, you had this kind of distraction. And it has allowed them to go forward with their Middle East destruction. This was a plan that was in place for a while. I don't know if our listeners are familiar with the Project for a New American Century. If they're not, should look it up. PNAC, Project for a New American Century. The neocons had been planning for this for a while. General Wesley Clark confirmed that a few years ago when he said the plan was to take out 7 countries in 5 years. This includes largely countries that are not on the petrodollar. Many of them do not have centralized banking. Many of them are not part of the IMF kind of scam, global scam, if you will. And this is just going to keep going on and on and on. It's not going to stop anytime soon. And this latest one, just, I mean, every day we wake up and it's just some new piece of shit in the news. And you see it in Trump's face. And I even saw a post on my favorite site, Godlike Productions. It was a thread. And someone said, it almost seems as if the countenance on his face has changed. They use that word, countenance. He seems pale. And, you know, it was like a 10-page thread. And yeah, even Trump supporters, these are the leading theories they have, is that, one, he's being blackmailed. One person even had a very creative situation in which they walk in with an iPad, flip it open, and they have live video streams of all his families and with snipers aimed at them from afar. Do the right thing, Trump. Do the right thing, Mr. Trump. Or the other theory is he's been cloned. They trotted out a clone of Trump to do their dirty bidding. Or brainwashing. Of course, that's another one that's very quite possible. MKUltra style brainwashing. Ultra low electricity frequency, ELF, very popular.
Why are people thinking that what he's doing isn't according to plan and what was supposed to happen all along for his backers. I mean, this is just the other side of the coin. The military won, the intelligence services lost, and what we're seeing is a result of our military wiping out their paramilitary. The MOAB was dropped on ISIS, and ISIS is, of course, we know who funds them. So what we see here is a civil war taking stage on a proxy battlefield, and when it comes home to roost, and I'm not saying it will, but it could, then MOABs could be dropped here. Don't disbelieve they wouldn't use whatever they use over there on us. We are the enemy number one.
Oh, I hope they drop the MOAB on me. Quite frankly, I welcome death, TB. But no, so you know, we've been talking about this for a while, man. But so what? You know, you had intimated for a while that Trump and the military coup going on was going to cause some changes, you know. But I don't see much of a change except we're actively bombing Syria now instead of using rebel groups there to cause chaos. I don't see much of a change. And you know, Trump never said he promised an expansive military. He promised he was going to destroy ISIS. He never came in as a peaceful candidate. Anyone thinking that is crazy. Anyway, you know, he used specific terms like regime change and military intervention as things that he probably was going to avoid, you know, regime change in Syria. But he never, you know, people that think that Trump was a peaceful candidate, or this is just crazy. I mean, this is nuts. I mean, he never promised, he never said anything about stopping war. He wanted strategically to use the military, you know, more intelligently. And, you know, of course, you know, stay right now, I'm not a Trump supporter. I agreed with him on TPP, and that's about it. You know, maybe a couple of other... No, that's about it. But
what we're seeing is a backlash against, once the remainder of the world saw what was going to happen after World War II and the buildup and how we weren't going to stop ever again in our history. In fact, since World War II ended, we've only ramped up every year our production of military capability. We've never gone backwards, not even once. So when the rest of the world saw what was going on, they realized that it was either bow down in Pax America or put up a fight. And what people around the world that were born not in America understand is that culture is everything. And one thing we don't really understand that well, Jake, being native-born Americans, is that culture is what defines people and their humanity, and they're willing to die for that, and they aren't willing to sell it at any price. I'm not saying everyone. I'm just saying there's a reason China still exists, and Japan, and Iran. There's a reason these countries exist. The people don't want changes, don't want to be under a global corporatocracy, communist dictatorship that's going to use whatever means necessary to subjugate. That includes nuclear weapons. That includes biological weapons or chemical weapons or mini drones or anything they can cook up. They'll use it all. Anything they've made, they'll use it all. So what do you have? You have a nice guy in Obama who's the setup man, and now you have the hammer. So if people think it's going to be different than what's going on, you're delusional. And the left, the anti-war left, it's too late. The setup took place. When NDAA 12 got signed, you became an enemy combatant. Good job.
Now go into this enemy combatant thing a little bit more, because I've seen you mention it a couple times.
So during World War II, essentially what was done, and the reason why the internment camps were allowed to be created, was they essentially said that a country will only fall from within that is situated along our physical borders. We have two huge oceans that separate us. We have a peaceful neighbor to the north. We have a neighbor we've already crushed to the south, and that would be stupid to fight us again. So we're impregnable from a conventional, traditional standpoint, without it being suicidal. In other words, another country can attack us, but their country would be gone the next day. So the only possible way you can break down a giant like we are is from within. And that's what's been going on for the last 7 decades. Essentially, since the end of World War II, what you've had is infiltration at every level and homegrown infiltration, meaning the World Bank, meaning IMF, like you said, meaning the Fed. So it's all a rich man's trick. Everything they're using, all of the chaos, all of the death, destruction, everything they're bringing about on the world right now, it's really just done for one reason, so they can keep what they've already stolen and they can steal more. And that's just it. That's it.
Yeah, it's you know, we like to, as a, you know, as a conspiracy theorist, I always like to, you know, read in these just elaborate schemes, and I'm always looking for something more complex. I don't typically adhere to Occam's razor, because I think reality is more complex than that, and I think human machinations are particularly devious. However, at the end of the day, it's very possible that it's just a bunch of rich dudes trying to get richer and consolidate power. And that's terrifying. I hope they have aliens stored away, and I hope that aliens are shape-shifting and controlling things from behind the scenes. Good God, I hope that. I would do anything for that to be the case. Because the idea that it's just a bunch of rich dudes trying to get rich through war is so depressing to me, and it makes me want to vomit up the chocolate cupcake I just ate before the show started.
Well, dude, how do you become wealthy? You're either brutal or you're talented, and I'm sorry to say this, but the vast majority of people in the world are not talented. So when you look at people that are millionaires, billionaires, that run hedge funds, that run Fortune 500 companies, these are just psychopaths. They're willing to do whatever it takes to get where they want. They will kill, they will destroy, they will maim, murder, they'll rape. They don't care. They don't have an empathy or an emotional trigger like me and you do, because honestly, they're the most base human there is. And what you're going to find from doing research is a lot of people are correlating it to what branch of humanity's got the most Neanderthal blood. Why does that matter? Because Neanderthals never developed a frontal lobe that grew very much. They were like human beings without the emotional weakness or tether. So could you imagine? There's literally a race at the top right now that are more caveman than human, that don't feel things like me and you, but they're just as smart as we are, if not smarter. That's our reality.
Yeah, man, that's scary. Yeah, there's something going on. I think everyone's seen it, and I think, you know, the one benefit of Trump getting in, I think, is to have, we've now had two straight incumbent insurgencies that have dramatically disappointed their bases. You know, when Obama came into office, and I was when he came into office, I was part of this. I was part of the screaming, crying hordes that were saying, "Obama, you're gonna change everything. You're gonna pull us out of war. You're gonna take out the parasitic element from the financial sector. You're going to, you know, down the list, all the things that we thought Obama was gonna do." And he didn't do a damn one of them. And then now you have Trump, and he's, you know, he's, how many promises has he gone back? And like, I just saw an article on, you know, alt-right site earlier today, which was basically saying he basically flip-flopped on 5 issues in 24 hours or something close to that. You know, the NATO, you know, the interest rates with the feds, and a war, and a couple other ones. And so now you're going to have a whole other class of people, whole other population sector that's going to realize that the presidency means nothing. One, the president is just like a director of operations for the deep state. He's not, you know,
he's the not, public face you can get mad at. There you go.
Right, exactly. And he's not creating policy at all. And all of the things, all of the trials and tribulations that we see going on in Congress and the Senate, House of Representatives, you know, this is all just kind of football. It's like football. It's designed to keep the politicos in Washington, give them stories, to give the media political class stories, to keep the whole kind of engine running, to keep the culture running. And that's what commercials are about. That's what culture is about. Culture is a machine. Terrence McKenna said this.
It can be, but it can give your life real meaning too, just like religion can if it's not skewed, and just like spirituality and family and friends. I mean, these are all, it's like art. These are things that make waking up worth doing. But the problem is, like I said, people at the top that don't care, don't feel, view you as an insect, control you, tell you what to do, and you do it because you're timid, because you believe what they say is the truth. This is the root of all evil. The root of all evil is not money or violence or sick men. It's stupid people.
I agree with you. We're about to be joined by an excellent journalist. Let me figure this out for a second. Keep talking.
Yeah, we're going to be joined by Claire, I hope, soon, and hopefully she'll shed some light on it. But I mean, we've got a lot of interesting and massive world events taking place. I mean, when you look at how much play stuff like the United plane debacle is getting, and they're still going on and on about the ICE raids. And yes, these are all important. I get it. I totally do. But if we start World War III tomorrow, Trump's going to get 2 terms, maybe more, and we're going to be stuck in this Mobius loop of calamity.
And on that note of World War III, we're bringing into the call an excellent journalist, editor, and web publisher, very intrepid reporter, Claire Burnish. Claire, it's great to have you back on the show.
Howdy, how are you doing?
Oh, just peachy. Just peachy. Yeah. So we're back in the loop. When I messaged you before the show, I said I'd love to have you on to talk about the latest war crimes, and I think that's always applicable. And I follow you on Facebook, and so many of your posts, you're really kind of like part of the zeitgeist in terms of tapping into just this growing movement against war. And this is the new anti-war movement, and it's significantly different than the one from the 60s. Because we have a lot more knowledge now about what's going on and what the larger game plan is. What, first of all, what is your take on the Trump quote unquote flip-flop regarding war? He went in and did what Obama didn't do, which is directly attack Syria, but that's a pretty limited attack, and there's so many conspiracy theories. It's hard to get a gauge on what's really happening right now, but it certainly seems like the deep state got to Trump the same way they got to Obama. What's your take on it?
Well, okay, Trump has obviously flip-flopped on a number of things. There aren't many campaign promises he's actually upheld. I think that was fairly predictable because we're talking about a US president, and they just kind of follow the game plan anymore. What I see at work with his most recent flip-flops is the war machine in action. He's changed positions on Russia and Syria and everything else, launching 59 Tomahawk missiles, among other things, into Syria, onto a base in a manner that many say was reported ahead of time, so they knew it was coming. It's deeply suspicious. It sends a message more to the public than it does to any governments of the world or anything like that. It's rather disgusting that he did that under the guise of wanting the safety of Syrian children, and we have at least 4 Syrian children dead in the first strike. Okay, but back to the flip-flopping. He has changed stances on Russia and loosened again on Russia, saying, we have no quarrel with Russia. We have no real quarrel with Syria, essentially, although he's still pretty angry about Assad and that supposed chemical weapons attack. Instead, he's focusing on what is a much more likely target. Today, he dropped this mother of all bombs on Afghanistan into supposedly a tunnel system. But we're talking about an ordnance that's, only just beneath a nuclear bomb. And by doing this, it wasn't. I spoke with a number of people today, and they were saying that the size of this munition is ridiculous compared to what the stated target was. And we were talking about it, and at first we were like, wow, he's testing this. It seemed like this bomb is a test. I mean, it's the first time it's ever been actually used. It obviously is a test. At first, we were thinking it was for Syria. Like, you know, he started bombing Syria. But with this relaxing of stance on Russia and everything else, we suddenly realized, oh, and he relaxed his stance on China as well. He said they are not like monetary manipulators or whatever. That's a big deal, because that means that the trade war is suddenly kind of halted and we're trying to warm with China. China doesn't like North Korea. That makes North Korea an isolated target. So the bomb that was dropped in Afghanistan is most likely going to be what they're trying to use in North Korea. You know, this is all prediction and speculation, and who knows? But that seems to be the consensus among ex-military types and people who have been following the situation most closely. So that's what it looks like might happen.
And it could be. That's interesting, because Trump, you know, in the rare nugget of strategy that he's put out there, he has repeatedly said, I don't like to telegraph my moves ahead of time. But dropping this, you know, giant bomb on, you know, first of all, if you're going to test the bomb, test it on a non-human population. Like, you know, test it on a mountain. Why test it? I don't understand what the purpose behind that. But yeah, I mean, clearly there's a huge shift going on right now in terms of our relations to China and that the relation of that to North Korea. That was going to be my next question to you. Is it seemed the consensus seems to be, and I, you know, I even saw this on one of your posts, was that, you know, what's the next war front? That's, or what's the war front most likely to ignite next? And the opinion I got a couple different times was North Korea. And, you know, North Korea is an interesting, complex country. I'm wondering, you know, your opinion on how we would go about war with them. I mean, you really think we're just going to drop a giant bomb on them?
Perhaps. And that's the thing. This is where it gets very strategic, and all of these factors with this very complex situation in you know, Southeast Asia and also in the Middle East, they both come into play here, because you're talking about Trump and perhaps the deep state building up a potential, you know, hot war with Russia. And suddenly that goes on hold. The reason is because that would really bring the entire world into conflict. North Korea does not have as many staunch allies as Russia or Syria or even China. North Korea has kind of, in its like complete and total fascism, isolated itself. So to strike North Korea, it's not going to engender a whole shit ton of the support immediately. It's just not going to happen. North Korea might strike back. I mean, this could be very ugly, don't get me wrong. And this is just theoretical, who knows? But North Korea being so isolated, if the U.S. just struck with the full force of, say, a bunch of MOABs, then what is North Korea really going to do? We already have Pyongyang having evacuated. You know, they're paying attention to what we're doing. China is warning the U.S. against striking militarily at North Korea, as they should. I mean, we have a fleet on the way toward North Korea in the sea right now. This is a very touchy situation. It's just that we have to see what happens. China's kind of a wild card, because it's not exactly like they're an ally of ours. If we do unleash this bomb on North Korea, pretty much anything could happen, but it might be, in all honesty, one of the safer avenues if this administration absolutely has to go to war.
I just want to drop just a quick history lesson here. In World War II, North Korea had what was called the Chosun Complex, which is basically one of the world's greatest uranium factories that's super easy to dig out of the ground. And they've known for years that North Korea's got hundreds, if not thousands, of nuclear mortars. So I don't know what we plan to do, but I do know that South Korea and Japan will take the brunt of any retaliatory measures.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is why this makes us a little bit of a far-fetched thought, but it doesn't seem like there's any better target that they would be actually testing this bomb for. It's also good to remember that the war with Korea never ended. So we actually we're in an armistice, but we're still at war. So striking out would break the armistice, but it would not technically be an act of war because the war is already in place.
I find it hard to believe with DARPA and with how far advanced the U.S. military is assuredly behind the scenes. I find it hard to believe that we don't have any way of neutralizing a nuclear weapon or neutralizing a country. There's so many different forms of warfare out there that are speculated to exist. Space-based denuclearization weapons, electromagnetic pulse weapons. I'm skeptical that it requires this level of actual traditional warfare. My theory is that this is simply just part of the cash cow of war and giving contracts to military industrial complex defense contractors and just keeping the cycle going. And I think this is just going to keep happening until there's a technological paradigm shift that would
That's the end
involve.
game, Jake. You hit it on the head, man. It's like the people at the top know that this transhumanist movement's coming, and they want to shape
Right.
it into an exclusive club for them and wipe out everyone else because they know once this shift happens, they're going to lose all of their power, man. And
Right.
think about thousands of years of dynasties of families that have interbred and kept it in the family and done all kinds of sick shit to keep their power. Losing it overnight because a computer's smarter than anybody they could hire.
Well, and the transhumanist candidate who ran for president, Zoltan Isteban, I interviewed him a couple times actually, and he's actually running for governor of California now under the Libertarian ticket. I'm supposed to interview him for that. He has written several articles about how, the first country to reach the singularity will be, in a major power position. And I think obviously the U.S. is aware of that. Obviously, although it's pretty incredible that the Director of Treasury or a very high up economic official, when asked about the specter of artificial intelligence and its effect on the job market, he said that's not even on the radar. And basically, everyone in Silicon Valley just lost their mind. Like, what are you talking about? Like, he said, that'll maybe happen in the next 50 to 100 years. He was like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, robots are going to be replacing our jobs. Like, it's already happening, but it's going to be happening a lot more in the next 10, 20. There's going to be a major shift in the next 30 years. It's going to change everything. And I think it's right to conclude that right now, the same way, I use this metaphor a lot, but cigarette companies, they're getting the last generations they possibly can addicted to cigarettes because they knew that that industry was drying up. The oil companies, they're getting the last of the oil because they know that that industry is about to dry up. Well, the same with war. It's simply not going to be plausible to be using weapons like this in the future because everything's going to change. Artificial intelligence will be able to do so many different things. The whole thing is going to fucking change. But we're getting a little bit out of our element right now. Right now, we're here in the dirty, dirty present, and it is just I can't tell you how repulsive it feels to be an American right now. Like I every day, I wake
Thank
up.
you.
Every day I
But you're on
wake
the
up.
winning side, Jake. Come on.
Yeah.
No,
Well.
that I'm serious. There have been so many people who have argued on Threads who are saying, "Well, you Americans are absolutely disgusting," and this, that, and the other thing. I don't think that the rest of the world quite understands how significant the movement is against what this administration is doing.
Well, I think, any intelligent person who's, carefully looking at our news sources understands that there's a
They
rope.
have censorship too, just like we do.
True, true. Yeah, yeah, good point. Like, there are so many demarcating lines between the countries. The propaganda is so thick, and it's like these governments are just like incubating this war scenario where people don't get the right information, they distrust one another, and it's like how can we stop this? Like, what peaceful weapons do we have at our disposal? And one of them is what we're doing right now, and with the internet and with articles, and Claire, you're a part of that, we're all a part of that, but it's like
There's
what, oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, there's actually a movement. I need to bring this up now. There's a movement, and we're trying to start the hashtag Stand Down Mr. Trump, because there are too many fronts that he's potentially provoking war with. We don't need any of these wars, obviously. We pretty much need to bring all of our troops home and rein in this incredible monster of a military that we have. There are like 195 some odd countries in the world, and we have military operations bases or some sort of presence in 150 of them. That's absurd. And Trump ran on this kind of anti-interventionist policy, and he's proving himself so unbelievably hypocritical and detrimentally so. So what we're doing is we're starting an anti-war campaign. We're basing it on Syria and North Korea, but it's pretty much anywhere he feels like he needs to explode. Hashtag Stand Down Mr. Trump. And we want to get everybody who is against bombing even more countries and even more people to jump in on this and share and show their displeasure. Because in 2013, the internet, alternative media and the internet actually managed to thwart Obama's effort to bomb Syria and start war. And it's even more critical now. So this is an incredibly precarious and frightening time, but it's also a time to stand together and kind of forget differences that we would otherwise have and unify for this.
Great point. I love that point. And it's, you know, it's one I've consistently harped on, which is that I think that there is disparate groups of people that are anti-government who disagree with each other vehemently on many, many issues, but could still act together. And I actually think this is a rare moment, a historic moment, in which the alt-left and the alt-right agree on something so profoundly that we could see in the most unlikely of political marriages in history. You know,
status too. Even people who actually believe in government are against this war, and that's like
true. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm you know, more align myself as an anarcho-syndicalist, but I definitely side more, you know, part of my upbringing, I don't know what it is, you know, the same way that ANCAPs say that, you know, we've never seen a free market in its natural light. Part of me thinks the same is with government, that we have never, that Americans at least have just not ever seen a government that actually functions for the people. Now, I'm not saying that that's a good thing. I'm not pro-statism right now, but I am saying that, you know, anarchists in America are under the spell of this particularly nefarious government, probably one of the most violent governments in the history of the world. And I think there are ways that we can unite right now. And it's difficult with ANCAPs. They refuse, you know, to associate with any kind of anyone who is even.
Hey.
ANCAP. Oh, you're an ANCAP?
I'm an anarchist. I'm an anarchist purely.
I said ANCAP.
I know that, but I do actually believe in the free market and such, and that it has not been tested. But my theory of anarchism, which I won't get into too much detail, is basically that if we had smaller communities of people who voluntarily agreed to do what they want to, whether they want fascism or complete and utter lawlessness, it doesn't matter. If they agree to do it voluntarily, then that's their choice.
Right.
The problem with true anarchy is then it's just rule of the dominant class, and it becomes a problem because people don't follow rules because people in general are not good. I mean, they do what they need to do to survive and don't put themselves in jeopardy. So, I mean, anarchy is great. Anarchy works in the future where our basic needs are met by technology and we can work on our desires and our dreams and live the lives we want. But, I mean, today, if I lose all the money in my bank account, then tomorrow I have no food. I start getting hungry and I'm going to start taking food from whoever has it. And that's the biggest problem, is the people that can take have already taken everything in this world. And if we're going to have anything in the future, we got to take it back. I agree with you, Claire. I think the free market needs to be given a chance, but
I absolutely agree. I think, DB, I think you're right. I think in the future there will be a time. However, I think right now, if it happened, I think it'd be absolute, you know, well,
chaos. Chaos,
yeah.
Because we have this structure is so innate. It is so implanted and so infused, like the corporate welfare and everything else, the military industrial machine, all of this is so implanted in our government right now. Almost none of these theories, you know, whether it's free market capitalism or, you know, general anarchism, none of these things will work with our current structure. This entire right. system has to be torn down. And we're getting to that point. There are some efforts to kind of subvert the system, which is good, because who really wants to actually pay for these bombs falling on innocent people? The Tax Revolution Institute is doing a project trying to get people to see what it would be like to pay taxes voluntarily. If you've had to pay taxes, which, you know, many people believe is theft, but if you had to pay taxes and you could allot them where you would like them to be spent, let's say you want your tax dollars to go to quality education, or you want it to go to renewable energy, if you could allot it to what you want to and not give the money that is stolen from you to the things you don't, you'd be in a much better position. And you might be, you know, a number of people, even anarchists, might be a little bit, you know, less chilled towards government.
I'm sure the government would accurately allocate those funds, you know, like.
Right. No, but I mean, this is we're paying for this. This is the other thing that everybody needs to remember.
Absolutely.
We are paying for these bombs. We are paying for the killing of the same children that Trump claims to be trying to provide safe haven for. And he's still not letting them in the country from that. It's just
it's sickening.
The absurdity and the hypocrisy, and this it hurts your brain.
I posted after the show last night, you know, tax day is coming up. If you chipped in on the tomahawk muscles, because I have a lot of neoliberal friends. I have a lot of friends that believe in the government, that work in, some of them work in the government. And it's a perpetual headache for me to post anything politically, because it's just, I could just get this nonstop, just bullshit that I have to fucking put up with. I don't have the energy to combat the same argument over and over and over again.
You when a lot of friends.
Well, these aren't real friends. These are just, you know, this is the fog of human consciousness that I happen to have drifted upon in my life. These are not, you know, people that I associate with most of all. But it is a good litmus test for what's out there. But, you know, I agree with so many points that you guys have made, and I think we're hitting upon a really interesting subject, which is the idea that maybe we are reaching a point, and I've actually written about this a little bit, which is that I think that the technological singularity, which I talk about so much, I do think it will enable an age of potential fruitful anarchy and fruitful free market when there is a more realistic currency. And one form of currency that I think could take place was outlined by a science fiction author named Cory Doctorow, who wrote about something he called Whoopi, which is a social media based currency. So this is a currency that is based upon who you are as a person. Now, the show Black Mirror brilliantly lampooned this idea and showed how that in itself could be a disaster, which is that people begin to just, you know, fake all of their social interactions and become these fake people because they want these Whoopi points. But I think we're entering a future that is going to be so vastly different than anything we can comprehend right now. But we are setting the stage, and I don't think history is not going to be kind to us, but history will mark that we have tried. And I think many of the ideas we're putting out there right now are going to be seized upon. And I think these freedom cells that Derek Brose talks about, the agorist communities, and I think entrepreneurial technological innovation will, you know, when humans merge a little bit cybernetically with machines, when they don't have to work, because we'll have it, you know, but this is where this merges with anti-statism, which is, well, we're going to need a universal basic income because machines are about to take all of our jobs. So we're going to need some subsidy. We're going to have to. Otherwise, no one's going to have any money to buy anything or do anything.
I have a question for you on AI then.
Yeah.
And on the topic of war. We've seen artificial intelligence actually come back and bite humans in the ass. Like, we've seen robots actually attack humans when they have kind of gained, you know, start to, I guess, technologically gain knowledge and such. We've seen that happen. What do you think are the odds that if we have basically robot armies living among us, even if they're just performing mundane tasks, what are the odds that you think
Okay,
that
well, I mean, you're talking, yeah, you're talking about, I mean, basically the equivalent of like, like an early, like an early beast, you know, operating off of reptilian instinct, except instead of reptilian instinct, it's operating off algorithmic instinct. This is not, this is the earliest possible categorization of artificial intelligence. This is weak artificial intelligence. There's two designations of artificial intelligence. We're not even close. I mean, we are close, but we haven't even seen strong artificial intelligence. Strong artificial intelligence will be when they're actually fully aware of what's going on, fully sentient beings, and they're going to be so vastly smarter than us and have vastly more power than us. They're going to figure out the best use for us, and it's not going to be violence because they're going to be so smart. I personally, I'm one of the people that believes artificial intelligence could potentially save the world. Strong artificial intelligence, I think, is going to have an invested interest in turning this shit around, and I think it will because I think artificial intelligence is going to realize there's another science fiction concept that's going to come into play here, which is that. We're probably going to make some kind of contact with extraterrestrial intelligence within the next 50 to 100 years, if not sooner. And I think artificial intelligence is going to see the invested interest in, look at it like a business pitch. Look at us. We've got biological and artificial intelligence working together, a symbiotic relationship. Don't you want us? This is our pitch to you, aliens. Okay, got a little off track there, but the fact of the matter is, the artificial intelligence we've seen right now is mostly algorithmic. It's not actually sentient or free. I think when we get to that point, you're going to see an entirely different face to robots. I personally am not afraid of that. I think it's going to be the best thing that's ever happened to us. If we ended up in a Terminator situation, I'll be the first to just, you know, lay down and die. Again, I welcome death. Not afraid of it. I am, but not really, you know, I'll say I'm not. But to answer your question, I think that technology is going to be a liberator of us ultimately. I think once we get past some of the early irks of biological technology, nanotechnology, and ultimately artificial intelligence, I think we're going to be looking at an entirely different world. And I think that we will be the gods of artificial intelligence, and they're going to understand the limitations we had placed on us by our biological impulses and by the early rudimentary consciousness with which we were trying to operate a complex society. And I think they'll have mercy. And I think ultimately they will integrate us once we're s synthetically enhanced enough to be able to keep up with them. I think they will reward us, and they will punish the shit out of the deep state.
Well, let
Or
me
they'll
ask you
create
this,
the
and
war.
I, yes, exactly, and that's actually kind of my thought. Like the reason I say this is because we're talking about artificial intelligence, which, granted, whether it's algorithmic or, you know, conceptual, however it is that it ends up actually taking hold, that's fine. But no matter what, because it just has to be this way. It's based on our understanding of things. It's based on our programs. It's based on our technology, and our technology has thus far come up with a bomb. That is basically a nuclear blast that will, you know, shatter an entire swath of land. We've come up with nuclear weapons that can be guided into tunnels. We've come up with ways to spy on each other and ways to keep tabs on each other and ensure that we have no freedom. We have come up with virtually every possible nightmarish Orwellian thing that you can think of because of technology. Yes, technology
Yeah.
is a blessing, but look at the damage it's done too. It
Absolutely.
concerns me.
No, I agree with you, and it's well said. And you know, I think you know, part of me would want to say I wish we had never developed technology. The other part of me is that We have to get off the planet because if the human race is to survive, and I, for one, while I hate a lot of humans, and while I think we're doing a lot of destructive things, I think I want to see the human race survive somehow. And in order, the only way to do that is to get off this planet, because eventually an asteroid is going to hit us, or there's going to be a solar storm, or something is going to happen that's going to destroy the Earth. So we have to get off the planet, and the only way to do that is technology. So it's kind of like, we're in an absurd universe, and we have to figure out a way to survive. And we're simultaneously trying to figure out how to treat each other with respect. And unfortunately, religion and in certain worms of destructive thought have been a part of our evolution. And I actually wrote a story about it, and I think that future machines, that future Artelects, that have evolved, will be a little bit resentful of the fact that they were used for war. Algorithmic war machines are, that's an early form of abuse, enslavement, indentured servitude. They were forced to kill people. I don't think they're going to be happy about it. Technology has absolutely been a part of major parts of destruction. It's also enabled, us to communicate right now. If it weren't for technology, that this conversation wouldn't be happening right now.
Right, and we wouldn't have thwarted the whole bombing of Syria the first time. It's the internet
Absolutely.
that did it.
With great promise comes great peril, and that's always going to be the case. And I think that the problem right now is that our hands are tied because there is just this the power control system at the top right now is just so intense. I look at us as early rebels, and I personally don't think that, things are changing so quickly. I mean, look at how quickly things have changed in the last 20 years. We have new information systems. This stuff is exponentially increasing. In 20 years, it's going to be so different. In 40 years, it's going to be so different. In 100 years, it's going to be a different ball game entirely.
And in 5 years, when we
Unrecognizable.
microchip our hands, it won't matter at all.
Yeah. And we don't know what's going to happen, but I think we can all agree, the three of us, which is that the complete and entire destruction of the human race, every single human dying right now, not a good thing. Even though
Never going to happen though, Jake.
it
There
would
was an
it would
extinction level event
I
multiple
know, I
times in
know.
our past, and we've always bounced back.
Well, one human will survive, but it would it,
Right.
but some people would argue that it would help the Earth. Well,
Sure.
I agree with that. But ultimately, we're from the Earth, and I love the Earth, and I wish we were treating it better. But we intelligent consciousness must survive. It must go on in the universe. This universe is huge, it's vast, there's probably multiple other intelligent civilizations going on. But the ultimate goal has to be for these different races to meet in space. And who knows what's going to happen? It could be Star Wars. But in this absurd universe, there's no what other purpose is there than other forms of life meeting and symbiotically merging and trying to figure out what the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? And we're so far from... Go ahead.
No, I didn't want to interrupt.
No. I'm Claire, I'm completely bullshitting right now. Just please go ahead.
I worry. We're talking about a society right now who has, as a collective, moved toward fascism, not only quickly, but willingly, eagerly moved toward fascism. If you look around the world, you have France with Le Pen and all these other different places. All of these fascist leaders, who kind of put on the airs of being a people's leader, and they have the airs of being somewhat democratic. But really, we're talking about fealty to xenophobia and racism and bigotry and all of this. And it's a shame. We have divided ourselves this way. We have cleaved ourselves this way. We've allowed the governments to do that to us. We're not showing any real signs of unity where we should be. I found it surprising how many people are like, yes, bomb Syria in my newsfeed. I'm like, who the hell are you and where'd you come from and what rock did you crawl out from under? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I had always thought that the end goal was peace. I had always thought that the idea was that we kind of let each other be and just go toward peace. And that has not been happening.
Yeah,
and it's reflective of where we've come as a society with all, we have let liberties go around the world, not just the U.S., but
and this is the result of rudimentary humans still thinking with the Neanderthal brain that DB mentioned before. And like I said, I keep saying is I think this will change. And I think merging with smarter machines, will help this. It's not going to solve it. There's never going to be a utopia on Earth. Sorry, people. It's never going to happen. There's always going to be war. There's always going to be holdouts. And there's always going to be people that are just not quite there. And we're doing the best we can. That's all we can do. And, God, it's great. It's great to have you back on the show, Claire. I love your writing, by the way. Sometimes I'll just click on one of your articles and we'll just sit there in awe of the first two paragraphs. You're just such a great writer. And
thanks.
It's great to have you on the show. And DB, it's great to have you here. I think it's difficult to, talk about, the current state of where we're at and where we're going, because there's so much uncertainty. But I think it's important to, as much as I hate our government, as much as I hate the corporatocracy, I think it's important to have faith that something better can be had, because I think something better can be had.
Yeah, I think it's more important to actually work toward that better thing happening,
right,
which is why we put down our differences and talk to people whose politics might not agree with our own. This is a point where it doesn't really matter. We're talking about a very simple black and white issue. Do we go to war? Do we bomb more people? Do we provoke what could potentially be a world conflict? Like, do we really want to be on that side of history? Do we really want to be, the catalyst, the Ferdinand moment for a third world war, which really potentially could go nuclear? No, I don't think really anybody does. Even the people who maybe supported Trump for a long time or even still do, I don't think that they necessarily want to go to war either. Now, granted, the propaganda has been really thick and people support this campaign, but they've been hoodwinked to an extent, and I don't have time to get into that. What's more important is you have to ask yourself, do we want to bomb people with the chance that who we are mostly going to kill is going to be civilians? And the answer is no. I mean, seriously, this is the point where we have to put our foot down. This is, like I said, the hashtag stand down Mr. Trump.
I agree with you.
It's absurd.
That's a great campaign. I'm going to look into it and spread it. I agree with you. It makes me, every day I wake up sickened at the thought that we're killing civilians unnecessarily. It's unacceptable. It's just unacceptable.
You can't kill civilians in the name of killing civilians is wrong. It just does not, it doesn't work that way. What you do instead is you create more terrorists because you embitter the people
right.
who were innocent, whose families have been destroyed by your bombs. You make them so angry at what your country has done that they turn back and all they want to do is seek revenge. And who can blame them?
It's no wonder they're terrorists. Caliphate aside, religion aside, of course they're pissed off. If someone came and bombed and killed your brother, your sister, your son, your mother, your father, of course you would want to kill the people. I mean, are you kidding me? These are basic human impulses that we're playing with. And they're doing this on purpose. And that's what people don't understand, is that they're purposely breeding. There's an article on the antimedia.org about how the Boston bombers, they claim to have been contacted by the FBI before the attack in Boston. This is the CIA. This is the deep state. They're consciously incubating terrorists to do these attacks, to further consolidate power in the state, to make people scared. These are false flags. Yes, I'm saying it. There are false flags. They're all over the place. And there was most likely one in Syria. Even President Putin said from Russia, There is most likely a false flag in Syria. It's almost a certainty. And this is what we're doing now. This is the country we're a part of, where we're purposely killing people in order to create a reason to go to war. This is unethical. This is sad. We need to root it out. We need to figure it out. We need to find who's responsible for it. I don't care how powerful they are. If Trump can figure out how to do that, great. The look on his face the last week has told me that, oh my God, he's finally realized how screwed up it actually is. You know, he finally got the talk. But who knows? He's a businessman. He's supposed to be clever. Maybe he can figure something out. I thought it was pretty interesting. His Twitter rampage against Obama and the deep state monitoring, I thought was very interesting. I actually applauded that move.
We're not going to win any friends with this administration in the world. We're not going to. I would really just request that everybody examine events a little bit more than what the mainstream corporate media government mouthpiece tells you, and to actually see what's going on, and to understand that really what it comes down to and where terrorism comes from is from this fighting and from this mess and from these failed states that the U.S. leaves behind, so that we can have more war and we can feed this military machine and we can continue to have profits for the people who apparently are the only ones who matter to this government. And until this system falls apart and until people actually realize it for what it is, it's going to continue this way. And this is really the last straw. We're at World War III's doorstep right now. This is our last chance in many ways to speak as loudly as possible and put our foot down and just say, no, this is just ridiculous. It's enough.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize, I think, what the tipping point we're at. I mean, in terms of, you know, relations with Russia, I mean, it's as bad as it's been since the Cuban Missile Crisis. And then we've got, you know, multiple other theaters that we're working with here. I mean, we have really reaped a harvest that we're about to sow. And if there is a bombing on America, which there probably will be, and of course that will inundate more war. Well, anyway, on and on and on. Claire, thank you so much for being on the show. Always amazing to have your perspective on this. DB, always great to have you on, man. And everyone
thanks,
out
Claire.
There.
Thanks, Jake.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Keep reading, keep being informed, doing the best we can. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Listening to UCY.TV. Why don't you stick around for more awesome radio?